Welcome to episode 5 of UK Rifter's Virtual Reality Podcast. In this special episode, I'm interviewing John Hibbins of SciTech Games about the forthcoming Windlands 2. I'm here today with John Hibbins from SciTech Games, and I'm going to reminisce for a moment before I ask you your questions, John. And of course, Windlands, for me, was a bit of a seminal title when the Oculus Touch controllers came out. This was the first time you really felt you could use these controllers to experience flight, which was really amazing and quite moving for me. Tell me about what you're working on now.
Hello, I'm John from SciTech Games. So I suppose one of a much larger team since we were working on Windlands, because Windlands was a relatively small team to the size of the team that was working on Windlands 2. But yeah, we've been working on Windlands 2 for about 3 years now. So we sort of finished and wrapped up Windlands 1. We're still eager to explore that universe, move on to new things. So yeah, we've been working on Windlands 2 for a long time, and we've just really got to the end. It's done. We're ready to release. We've gone through the last part of the process is what they call TRCs, which is Terms, Requirements and Conditions. And we're out the other side of that, which means we've got a build that we're happy to push out there. So we've announced the date of 12th of September to launch that. And yeah, we've been really busy working on that. And it's a very different beast to Windlands 1.
Very much so. I was lucky enough to try it at EGX Res. One thing that was very noticeable, it was a very busy event and most of the areas were quite busy and packed. But Windlands 2 had a constant queue all day. And people coming off it looking genuinely really kind of thrilled. What do you think the feedback was like?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, that we run those events for lots of reasons, lots and lots of reasons. But from consumer playtesting, they're absolutely invaluable. You know, that weekend we'd have put, you know, anywhere between 500 and 2,000, you know, random consumers, albeit people that usually play games. And the feedback we get from that is just incredible. You know, it's a real buzz. It recharges the batteries, that's for sure. You know, you get a real buzz from showing people what you've been working on for such a long time.
So often you're working on a project, you're so deep into it, and I do this myself, you just need a bit of validation that you're heading down the right line, right? And I think
absolutely.
You got that.
Absolutely. But also the absolutely invaluable feedback. People think, you know, because you get such a variance in the skill levels and such a variance in the people that are trying the game, you get so much solid feedback. So I can think of a number of specific things we came back from that show that are now in the final game. But I suppose the biggest example is colorblindness. None of us are colorblind inside the SciTech team. So we built the game and produced it. And actually the sky and the bush colors, even in the first game, but more so in the second one, are very similar. So for a colorblind person, they were struggling a bit to tell the difference between the bushes and the sky. And we went away and we've actually now, you know, implemented in the final software four different colorblind modes. So like for that, I can't tell them off the top of my head, but there are multiple different colorblind. Yeah, and you can go into the options and just turn on some accessibility for that. But yeah, it's things like that you, without further and bigger exposure, you know, even after the what must be 100,000 plus people at Peb Windlands, we're still finding out new things about, you know, developing good VR, and you know our VR is getting better, so we're obviously learning, and we've learned a lot, and we're just continuing to push that envelope and create new things. And there's a lot in Windlands 2 that we're particularly proud of.
So tell me a bit. Of course, Windlands has this wonderful kind of mystical feel to it. You know, you've got the kind of giant sort of entities buried in the earth, and you know, it really has a kind of a clear kind of universe feel to it. How does Windlands 2 build on that?
Yeah, well, it's set in the same, it's a completely different story, different part of the universe, but set in the same universe. So, you know, it's low gravity and it's a fallen world, and but it's a new story, you know. We've just built on it in almost every way. I think when we set out with Windlands 2, it was like we created our own wish list, but we also listened really carefully to the people that had played Windlands 1 and what they wanted. And actually to people that hadn't played Windlands 1 because it didn't have things that they would want. So we sort of listened carefully. We spoke about that. We took some time and reflection on that. And we came out with a real high level, I suppose we would call them like game design pillars, but the, you know, we came out with a high level list of the things that, you know, if we could, what should we do? And we very much wanted to keep the Windlands universe. That was really important to us. This is Windlands 2 after all. But we also, you know, we wanted to push the envelope in terms of the size of the worlds. We wanted to push the envelope in terms of the detail of the worlds. We wanted to make the, you know, we wanted to do more in terms of that and more dynamic things in the world. But, you know, ultimately we ended up with this top list, which was to improve on the world that we were building from Windlands to make it prettier and more detailed, but also to bring it to life a lot more. So we've got, you know, a huge part of Windlands 2 is NPCs and the characters you meet along the journey, which are all voice-overed. And, you know, we were very fortunate to have a guy that worked at DreamWorks work on that with us. So the characters are, you know, just very great. You know, we've managed to get really great in NPCs. Proper actors involved, so that's made a really big difference. And we've written a story that takes you through right to the climax at the end. But yeah, I mean, multiplayer was a huge thing for us. We absolutely, you know, and it obviously as a developer, we giggle quite a lot when people say, you know, multiplayer is just like turn it on. Just toggle it in Unity. And, you know, maybe there's some truth in that. But actually for us, it was, you know, you can turn on the multiplayer, but actually it's a much bigger picture, obviously. You've got to design from the ground up with that in mind. So all your gameplay elements and design has got to be, you know, multiplayer enabled from the start. You've got to build in things like voice IP mechanics. You've got to build in all of that into the UI systems. You've got volume controls and stuff. You've got, you know, the issues with reporting people if there's issues, etc. So the whole thing was built for multiplayer. And also the overhead in VR for multiplayer, which I think is underlooked, is, you know, you've got multiple NPC, multiple avatars in a scene. You've got all of those people are doing things, firing arrows, running around, you know, whatever they're doing. So it's a big challenge for VR to do multiplayer well and to do it at the, you know, very smooth, which Windlands really needs to be, because you know, you don't want to be in a fight and not see that you know, see people juddering around, etc. So yeah, multiplayer was a big challenge, and we had a multiplayer, you know, we had the foresight for that thoughtfully, and we had a multiplayer engineer, a guy called Pascal, very talented, on from day one. So, you know, there's 3 years there of multiplayer maturing, which is, we've got our own multiplayer stack, and it shows, you know, it's an incredibly good co-op, or single player, frankly. You know, you can play the whole game single player, but it's incredibly good co-op, and it shines in co-op.
That jumped out at me. I think Windlands, you know, I knew what to expect with Windlands. I was a big fan of it. When I jumped into Windlands 2, the two elements, multiplayer plus the really nicely designed and quite challenging NPCs, really hit me like, wow, this is now almost what I wished Windlands was to begin with.
Yeah, you know, well, that's it's exactly like, how I felt about it. It was like, this is what we want to build. You know, this is, if we could, it was actually really, really, really clear that people wanted some mechanic that was beyond just the swinging. And I think we could have only taken Windlands, even with multiplayer, so far in the Zen, like, you know, don't have anything else to do environment. So it was really clear to us. It was actually, it was a big draw to us personally, but also really, really clear that there was a want to fight things, you know, to actually, you know, but we didn't want to create this ultra-violent game and we absolutely didn't want to do another, you know, another wave shooter in quotes, right? Where, so, you know, the titans you do fight are all in sort of unique arenas and unique space that have been designed really around the swinging mechanics, so that you're fighting while swinging. You use the bow while you're swinging as well. It's a great mechanic we've got, and I think people will love it. But the, you know, ultimately every single boss fight in the game is very, very different. It's designed differently, and it has different ways that you play it, from, you know, needing to chase something down to standing on a spot and just surviving. So it's, yeah, and they're each boss has got multiple phases, so it's 3 phases, and during the phase change, you get things happen in the arena, you know. So we've thought about that, and Do you know what? It would have been lovely to do even more than we've done, but we've done a lot of titans. People are going to be really, you know, really enjoy some of them. And in fact, it was funny as we were developing it. It's like we developed one titan, and that was actually, you've probably only played the smallest one in the game, which is the first one, which is a robot, which is maybe 30, 40 foot high. It's it runs around the arena attacking you. It fires like a pew pew weapon at you, like a laser bolt, and then it fires lasers at you, and it's got electric that it electrifies the arena with, and you know it's a pretty aggressive fight. But yeah, I mean, as we went on through the dev, and we sort of mixed up the order we did the bosses, but we got, you know, we'd just do a boss and we'd be like, this is amazing, you know, we're never gonna top this. This is incredible, you know, like boss three comes to mind for me, right? It's like, it's in this amazing arena, it's like this amazing boss, it's absolutely fantastic, you know, like we're all enjoying it, we're laughing while we're playing it, we're screaming when we die by accident, you know, we're just absolutely in that zone, right? This is great, never ever gonna beat this. And and then we went on and did a completely different boss in another different zone that is even better. And it's like, oh my god, we're never gonna. And actually, the very last boss we did, which isn't the final boss, we did the final boss relatively early on, and it's awesome, and we're really, you know, people will, you know, just love that. But I don't want to spoil too much. But the you know, we sort of did the, I think the sixth boss, somewhere like that. We did that one, you know, very late in production. We just were finishing that one up, and it's actually turned out to be one of, well, obviously because we got better at it, but it's turned out to be an incredibly interesting fight. So yeah, no, I'm really, really happy with the boss fights. And well, there aren't just I mean, there are these specific boss fights that you encounter through the world that you have to do to continue the plot. But the you know, there are other things that happen. There are other events that happen that are less of the scale of the boss, but, you know, very much progress the plot line. So yeah, and I'm really, really pleased with where it's got to. And it's funny because we play it a lot, and we virtually, you know, I do play it single player, obviously, but we play it multiplayer once a week minimum, and play the full game through, so that, you know, all the staff jump in, and we have multiple games going or one big game. And yeah, we still have a whale of a time playing it. So it just I think if after 3 years we're still, and there's so much depth in the Windlands mechanics, I think people underestimated that. A lot of people, some people jump in and like can't quite get their heads around it or whatever, but the Windlands 2, we've improved a lot of that. It's much easier to get going, but you can sort of, you can pull your hands now, so we've got much more stretchier ropes, which means you can actually sway the way you're moving by dynamically moving in the air, and you can pull the ropes towards you to get that extra boost of speed. Yeah, exactly, and it's made a big difference to the mechanics. But also you know, the climbing mechanics have been overhauled. We've also got room scale in Windlands 2. So in Windlands 1, you were sort of, because of just the time it was out, room scale wasn't a thing. In Windlands 1, if you sort of walked away from your spot, you just walked away from your spot. In Windlands 2, you can literally walk off a cliff. And if somebody out there's got a very, very, very big warehouse, you could probably walk the entire map and play it. But the so those type of, you know, they've really improved the game, and it to the point where you can sort of dodge with your head, which is great for bullet dodging and laser dodging and things like that, but also homing missiles chasing you around. And, you know, we've got all this dynamic element that comes in, and we've done more on the swinging as well. You know, there is many more, it's much easier to find a hook point now, because we've made playgrounds that are designed for that, and the arenas are designed for it. And, you know, it's, you're less stuck, although there are areas that are challenging, you can keep swinging, keep
moving. Well, you say that. I mean, I think I've got three young children, and I always think they're almost like the perfect tester for intuitive design. And Windlands, for me, that was a really good example. And I know you're not supposed to let little kids in, but I don't let them play for too long. But they'd always want to play Windlands. And Windlands, they immediately got it, right? They understood, shoot the thing at the thing, and you start to swing. And they understood the gravity, and they understood the momentum. And it was just completely intuitive. And the idea that you've enhanced that to me, you know, that's your core of the game.
Yeah, and added,
you've
the
improved
bow
on that, and that's
it,
great.
It was super tempting, and I don't think anybody would blame us for this, to go too far, right? It was like really tempting. Let's put guns in, let's put shields in, let's put, you know, let's just go too far, right? You know, there's quite a lot of struggle for some people just to do the swinging. So as soon as we added the bow, there was that extra layer, and we found this awesome balance between these two tools. There's no, you know, you just press the grip button and your bow appears and you can pull your bow, right? And you can keep your trigger fingers, or reverse of this, but you can keep the triggers hold on to bush or swinging. So you can sort of, you get these amazing moves where you sort of like jump off a cliff, you grab onto a bush at the last minute, get some real height, and then open your bow up while you're swinging along to the next hook point in the air, and you're shooting the robot, and then you grab the next hook, you know, and it's like, it's just, you know, even when I say that, it's such an exciting extra feature to the Windlands mechanic, and I think people are just going to absolutely love learning that new mechanic and you know, getting used to that new moves you can do, because
they're building their skill, right? I mean, ultimately, yeah, there's a lot of games out there where you holstering a couple of guns and you just shoot, you know, there's only you master it in 5 minutes. Windlands, you can play and enjoy as a novice, but you can master and really enjoy as you play it more.
Oh, yeah, and there's a real doubt. It's funny because we brought new people onto the team. So there were people that had, like, not played Windlands before, and they were, you know, they joined the team because they had a really good skill in, like, art design or whatever. And watching their maturity to today, you know, going from, you know, not really playing Windlands at all right to today, they've just got better and better and better. And to say that it takes you 3 years to become a ninja at Windlands is probably not an underestimation, right? At this point, you know, we go in with them and everybody's plays on hard and everybody's really good at it. And, you know, we work together as a team and we communicate, you know, you take the left, I'll take the right, or whatever. And you know, there's that level of improvement. And plus, racing is so competitive. Windlands 2, we brought back racing from Windlands 1, but now obviously you can do it in multiplayer, and we've put in enhancements to that. We've done split times, and we've done, you know, all the things you would want, you know, in competitive racing, and they are stupendously competitive. You know, everybody's absolutely, you know, and it's typically the same people that are in that top three and just vying for that top three, and then this fourth position is pretty typical, you know. So it's like it's a proper skill based game which takes time to learn, and that's good though, because you know, it's got that depth of replayability, and we've done a lot of playability. You can play the game again and again and again and again and again, it will never be the same.
Well, certainly the case of Windlands 1, so you know, I'm pleased to hear that's the same with this one.
Well, every quest has its own seed, so each quest will be different every time you play the game, and it's unique to that save game. So if you start a brand new game, you'll get, you know, let's say you've got a rescue quest where you'll go and rescue loads of lizards or in cages or whatever, those will be in different positions the next on a different save game.
Awesome.
They'll be in the same part of the world, but they'll be in different positions. So every time, we've done that on purpose, really, because we found that if everything's in the same position, obviously you just know where it's going to be. You just wait for it, right? But when it's in a different position, you, especially in social, you're like, I can see one over there, and you're sort of pointing out to people and saying, look, it's in that direction. And so it's it becomes more social because it is different every time you play it, and the bosses are very different every time you play them. The bosses have their own AI and pathing system and all the rest of it, and so every time you play them, they react to the people also, but also take different routes and do different things. Oh, so you never quite know what they're going to do, which means you're always on edge saying, right, okay, what's it going to do now? And there's multiple times. So yeah, we've been really thinking about replayability.
I think you mentioned something there about kind of, you know, cooperative virtual reality. I've always argued that virtual reality in a single player environment is possibly the most isolating and sometimes quite unnerving experience, and Windland was a really good example of that, because it was desolate and it was sort of stark and mysterious, and when you were there alone, you really did feel alone, and the idea of playing that environment with others and interacting and pointing out things and experiencing things together, that's very appealing to me. I mean, that I don't want to talk about multiplayer too much, because I'm sure there's so much more to this game, but that multiplayer element,
it's a great game in both, right? It's like it basically, it's a single player game bringing along your friends, and the bosses scale up, right? So the bosses, if there's four of you, the bosses are, you know, they're going to target all of you. They've got these weak points you've got to knock off. That's how you kill them, and they're all over the bodies typically. And you know, those weak points will require more hits. They require, actually, it's a really simple formula. Every player there is extra, it's got an extra layer of the weak point, right? So it's like, it sounds really simple, and like that, but actually really, really works, because the strong players can hit more off, the weaker players still hit a few but not many, and you know, it just ends up really sweet balance. And then when you're really all strong, you take down the boss fairly quick, because you all decide which side you're taking, where you're going, whatever, and you know, it's still a challenge, but it goes down quicker. So it's really interesting, that balance, and they fire slightly faster and they can move the head turret slightly faster, etc., and it scales up. But in single player, you sort of get the same experience. It's just, a little bit more lonely. But the NPCs, you know, the characters that talk to you around the world make it feel less lonely. But yeah, I think when people start going off hunting, you know, they finish the main game and they go off hunting for the Easter eggs and the collectibles, because there are 140 collectibles again. We had 140 in Windlands 1. This time you got rewards, you get hooks when you collect things. So hooks unlock, there are some secret ones, but mostly it unlocks for doing things, you know, like completing the game, etc. So you get these new hooks you can show off in multiplayer, and now I'm looking forward to the first person that finds the most, you know, complete all the achievements hook.
I'm angling for that one.
People get it. I'm not sure everybody will, but you know, it's a nice hook show off in VR. But very much multiplayer, and with the races and the collection challenges and things like that at the end game, there are world leaderboards on that. And
Windlands, I was just about to ask that. Yeah, so you got the global leaderboards. That's fantastic.
Well, Windlands 1 has been entered a couple of times now. I think a guy called Ping Pong, but don't quote me on that, has entered a couple of times into Games Done Quickly. So there's a world leaderboard challenge for completing Windlands 1, you know, speedrunning. And actually, there's a lot of variants on speedrunning. There's speedrunning for each of the timed ones that obviously has global leaderboards and friends leaderboards and all those things. But they also, you know, it's an extremely competitive environment. I am not good enough, ironically. I can't beat some of those times. So even after I've watched the videos, these guys are a little bit more twitchy and younger than me, maybe. There's some impressive. But we've not ignored that group at all. In fact, if anything, we've got more challenges. And we're able to build more, and what I'd like to do with Lance 2 is we sort of moved from Windlands 1 straight into Windlands 2, so we sort of finished Windlands 1 and properly sort of finished it, you know, it's done. And we knew that we'd moved on to Windlands 2 and that everything was focused on that. And I think we'd like to keep Windlands 2 much more alive and go back and add some content to it and keep that content dripping in so that we can keep that community with new content stuff. It would be really nice.
I imagine people would be very, very keen to hear that. Yeah. So I've got one last question for you, and that is, obviously, release date. When's it coming out, and what platforms?
Yeah, 12th of September. We're just lining up keys now for the reviewers like yourself that will be able to have early access and sort of keep that, and then let everybody know on sort of the 11th, 12th what they think of the game. But yeah, it's not long now. Next week is the accurate answer. Really just excited, you know, at this stage we've kept it to ourselves for so long, we just really want to get it out there and let people play it. We hope people will love it as much as we love it,
I think the affection people have for Windlands 1, I think that will be a real big boost for you, because obviously you've got people like myself and, you know, thousands of other early adopter VR people will remember fondly Windlands. And obviously, you know, it's been available for a long time, so it's also got a fan base as well. But that will give it a tremendous boost, I hope. So I hope it's a huge success for you.
I mean, because obviously as a studio, we want to do more stuff. We feel like we're just finding VR legs we want to do more stuff, and it's only through sales and success of a title and visibility that we're able to do more stuff. And the team's the team has grown. It's with the core of us are still there, you know, myself, Ilya, Simo and Nick are still very much the core of Windlands, and we've been working together on this for that period of time. But there's, you know, we've brought on new people, level designers, like Yanni's been there since the start as well doing level design, and we're built on new people, and it would be nice to keep that team together, do some new big stuff, and move on to our next project. And we'll probably obviously fix any problems if we find anything in Windlands, but we're pretty confident it's pretty cool. Add some new content, take a bit of a window of opportunity, and maybe a holiday, who knows?
A holiday, that would be nice.
Maybe a holiday, but then come back in full swing on other stuff. You know, we've certainly got plans for what we'd like to do, and I don't think we'll make a Windlands 3 right now, but we'd like to do more together, and as a team, we'd like like to grow SciTech and do more
I'm
stuff.
very excited to see what you guys come up with next. And 3 years to develop this title, it's going to be good. And from what I've seen already, just in the sort of alpha stage that I played with, very, very promising indeed.
Well,
So
it's worth getting to the
excited.
credits. I have a little tear every time I get to the credits, honestly. I am the credits we've got I don't want to spoil the credits, but it's
No,
worth
don't
getting to
spoil
the
it. Don't
credits. It's
spoil it.
worth getting. So it always makes me very emotional because once you've experienced the game. But yeah, no, it's
That's
yeah.
great.
Well, hopefully everybody will love it.
I hope they do, John, and I'm sure they will. John, thank you so much for your time today, and good luck with the launch. I very much look forward to seeing it myself, and I'm sure people listening to the podcast will be eager to try it. So thanks again, John, and enjoy your day.
Cheers, have a great day.
In other news, I will be on a virtual reality panel at the EGX Video Game Conference on Sunday, the 23rd of September at 2 p.m. If you're in the UK and you're travelling to that conference, it would be fantastic to see you. The panel is called The Future of VR. It's hosted by Callum Hurley, and the panellists are myself, Sandra Muir, Keanu Hollingsworth, and Rob Cole. So again, EGX, Sunday the 23rd of September. It would be great to see you. One thing I love doing is taking questions from the audience. So if you would like to get involved with my show and leave me a little voice recorded message, then please install the Anchor app on your mobile phone and look for UK Rifter and then drop me a voice message. Now, if you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, SoundCloud, Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Basically, everywhere. So all that remains for me to say today is goodbye, and I'll see you again next time.